and I just learned the best spell of all.
What's that?
Sleep.
Welcome back to My Alchemical Bromance. This is Eric Arneson, and I am here today with Joan Pope II, or just Joan, who is a philosopher queen, an artist, and a musician, and she has a lot of cool stuff online that I know about, and maybe more that I don't know about, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Hi, Joan.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on. I've really been enjoying your art and your music, the Whip Angels. Like, I got one of your albums and I thought it was really good. And your art in particular, you know, most of the stuff that I've seen has been your Instagram account or your Steemit account, where you do these sort of like little square collages, and you do tons of them. You do like one a day or something, it seems like. Is that...
Yeah, sometimes I do more than one a day. I pump them out just because if I have the inspiration, mm-hmm. I just go with it. Because I've had periods of my life where it's like, I might go months without like creating something or creating very little.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have these periods of high creativity, I just go with it. Because it's not going to last forever. It's like, I have phases. Like sometimes I'm working like heavily on collage, then I'll kind of get in a mood and do music or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I just dabble in a lot of different things. And lately I have been on like a serious collage kick.
Where do you find all the background images for your collages, or the images that you use in the...
It's all from books. Mm-hmm. I spend way too much money at like used bookstores, and I really just like, I know what I'm looking for when I go in, so mm-hmm. I can somehow go in and 5 minutes later come back with like a stack, and you know, then I just cut them up and...
Cool. Yeah. I think they look pretty neat. I'll definitely make sure to put a link in the show notes so people can check that out. And as far as inspiration or like themes that you feel run through your artwork, what kind of drives you? Do you have a way of talking about that or describing it?
I think the overarching theme is just a celebration of life and being human and being alive. And I also deal with death
mm-hmm.
in the collages, but it's to contrast life. So it's sometimes people look at my art and think it's really dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, it's not really. I have to have both to kind of get the message across.
Mm-hmm.
Because the darkness in life is just part of it.
That's true. Yeah.
So that it sounds just so general to say that it's about life and death, but that really is what it's about. And also a lot of like mythology, I work into it, and religious imagery. I try to work with symbols that people recognize. So it's kind of like becomes a code.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, if you see like a snake or the sun, like really just ancient symbols working into the piece, it's like it's a message in itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoy seeing them, and I'm glad. And so, oh yeah, actually, here's a question that I have about this. Is so the you know, you have your collage medium, but then you also have, you know, the presentation of it being, you know, sort of like so insta, you know, there's so much of it goes on Instagram. Do you work with bigger pieces too, or do you mostly kind of make stuff that's Instagram centric? Like, do you fit it to Instagram when you're doing these?
Well, I do think a big part of my art is the way it's transmitted and using social media to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are paper collages, and I do have some of them, you know, just in a folder that, and they could be displayed if, you know, I wanted them to be, but there is something about using social media, Instagram, Twitter, Steemit, whatever, and distributing it that way. Because even a lot of them, I make the collage and they're not necessarily glued down. I just take them apart
mm-hmm.
and then I recycle the pieces later. So some of them are just,
oh,
they come apart.
That's sort of like totally embracing kind of the Instagram part of it, the digital sharing part of it, right? Like the collage.
Right, like it's a totally
collages.
Transient thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess I didn't even realize that, but you can kind of, I guess you can kind of get a hint of it sometimes. You know, you have the little like typewritten strips of words, and sometimes it looks like they're just sort of like cast on the page. So that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, because they're just not glued down. So it's like you could see the shadow actually, because I just have these like, I just use like a crappy lamp mm-hmm. to light it. Like there's nothing really fancy going on. And I think using Instagram too, it, you know, I use filters and I'll edit it a little bit on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it captures the look of the time. Like when you look at a photo from the 1920s, it has a specific look because of the type of film and cameras that were used on.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to embrace using things like Instagram, because it has a certain look that is just—it's
a 21st century
I'm living in.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting take on it, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, it's the, you know, the digital effects that are used. It's 100 years from now, people are going to look at our old tiny JPEGs or whatever and think that.
Right.
It's like even the era of digital photography. If you go back 20 years to an old digital camera, like those were really grainy, horrible pictures, and you can totally see right. Like, wow, that camera was like 20 years old, huh?
But it's like that's kind of what I'm going for. And you know, when everything I photograph and film, I use an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a fancy camera, and I just use like. I'm paying $100 a month to have an iPhone. I'm going to use it. So it's like, I use that for, it's like my main tool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it becomes worth it at that point. So yeah, I think kind of like there's also like something about like it's paper, the collage itself, and then it becomes this digital, it's immortalized in a digital way. And then the paper becomes, you know, I pull it apart and just, disperses.
And you do a lot of video stuff too. Have you ever thought of doing, now that I know that your collages are kind of temporary, have you ever thought of doing like stop motion moving collages?
Oh, I do. There are some on there if you look. I haven't done that many stop motions recently.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kind of go back in time a little on my Instagram, there are some stop motion animations.
I'll have to go look for them. I guess I didn't. You have a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah, I know I do. It's overwhelming. You know what it is? I don't think I have any of the stop motion. Maybe there's like one
mm-hmm.
on my actual website.
Okay.
Just because I have so much, and I've just made the website within the last year, so I've been like trying to keep up with it. So.
It can be tough. Well, also you're using quite a few different social media platforms because you're also on Steemit, right?
Right.
And you've been having some pretty good success there.
Yeah. You know, I just try to be consistent about posting regularly, and I feel like I haven't spent as much time as I want to on Steemit, just engaging with other people, because that's kind of the point of social media. Like, I don't mm-hmm. want to just put my stuff out. Like, I want to also find other people that, you know, I just click with.
And, yeah. You know. Steemit's tough. There's a lot of people who just sit around talking about cryptocurrencies.
Right. I mean, that is, people talk about cryptocurrency and then just the platform itself.
Yeah. It's very, yeah. And that's not super interesting. Like, I'm not there to, I don't want to use Steemit to read about Steemit.
Yeah,
that is
the problem with Steemit, and I've tried to get other people to come on Steemit because I'm like, this is a really cool thing, and mm-hmm. it could be a really cool thing, especially for artists, mm-hmm. musicians, whatever. It's like, if you're a content creator, this could be awesome, but it's like there's a little bit of a learning curve. People, when they sign up, it takes a little while to get approved.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird getting the hang of it at first, how it works and the voting and every, you know, it takes a little while to get the hang of it. Like, you do need those posts about Steemit in the beginning.
You do. But then finding interesting content is really tough on there.
Like, yeah,
a lot of
is.
The subjects that I'm interested in, there are maybe like three people writing there, but But most, you know, it's so it gets a little frustrating. I was putting a lot of time into Steam right when I first got my account, but it's been it's really trailed off.
I feel the same way. I'm kind of using SteepShot a little more.
Which is like posting,
it's like a duplicate feed of like my Instagram basically. And I wanted to do a little more with it, but it's like I was making some pretty time consuming posts, and it's just like they just get lost in like the cryptocurrency sea.
Yeah, stuff only seems to really stick around or be relevant for like a week or something. Like it's hard to put long content, you know, because I like to write. And it's hard to put long content on Steam it because you know that it's just going to be gone. Nobody's going to see it after a few days.
Right, because it's like there's a 7-day period, and once there's like the payout for it, you can't it can't be re-steamed or whatever. And then that's like a feature that really kind of sucks, like because it's like if I find something that's like someone posted 3 months ago that's really awesome, then I can't share it on my feed. So that's a definitely a, you know, a drawback with Steam it.
Well, it could be that, you know, maybe there'll be a new iteration of Steam it or some new, you know, I mean, it seems like there's still some development and effort going into it, so we'll see. I guess we just have to wait and find out.
Right. I mean, I like to just try out different platforms. I'm also on Minds.
Say that again? Minds?
Minds. Yeah, like your mind. Minds. M-I-N-D-S.
Huh.
It's really great, actually. It's a good alternative to something like Facebook. You have a profile page and you'd make very similar kinds of posts. And the problem with Minds that I find is that a lot of the posts are super political. So it's just like this endless sea of political posts. And that's not really what I want to consume.
Yeah.
Like there's just enough of that and I don't really want it, but I have found some cool artists and some cool people on there. So I still try to like build my following there. I just want to like put my stuff out and now see who bites.
So I was reading one of your web pages today and it talks about there that one of the inspirations for you was a sex and death cult that existed in interwar Paris.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Who was in this group? Like what were they like?
Well, there's actually not that much information available, but the writer George Bataille started a little group of his friends and, you know, other writers, intellectuals living in Paris at the time called SFL. It means headless. And it's like there's really almost nothing that exists specifically about what went on in this cult, but there were supposedly meetings that happened in the woods near like a tree that had been struck by lightning. Supposedly they had talked about actually carrying out a human sacrifice, but they found someone that wanted to be the sacrifice, but they couldn't find someone that wanted to be the executioner. So there, I'm just really fascinated about what that may have been. But I can kind of piece together, I think, you know, the vibe of it just from reading his work.
It was George Bataille.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever heard of him. What are some things he's written?
He is probably most famous for a novel called Story of the Eye. But I wouldn't necessarily like say that that's like what you should read first. I think like the best introduction to him, I think was the last book that he ever published is called Tears of Arrows. It's very heavy in art and imagery, but it's a good place to start.
Okay, cool. I'll check that out. And so you also talk about sort of like the sex, death, rebirth movement. Is that a thing that, like, how does that manifest? What do you do in your life to manifest that aside from, like, it's mostly your art and video and performance stuff, well, I suppose.
I would say that all of my art, my music, my video, it is like this partial ritual. Mm-hmm. Like, it's art, but it's also a ritual. Like, when I, a lot of, especially in the video, like, I have a whole series of, like, softcore eroticas, and the series, like, the first one was Goddess Erotica, and what I did was I filmed a series of videos based on the Greek goddesses. So in the first one, I'm Aphrodite, then I'm Athena, then Hera, then Persephone, and so on. I think there's 20 that I did all together. And I really feel that it was an invocation of that goddess, where it's really not me anymore. Mm-hmm. It was Aphrodite. It was Athena, whatever.
Did you feel like some of those, when you did them, were more like in tune with the theme, with the, like, the erotic theme, or?
Yeah, there were some where I felt that I had to maybe, like, try a little harder, or that it was a little more, like, forced to make it come across.
Mm-hmm.
But Aphrodite, Persephone, Athena, Artemis, like, those were really, like, I just was.
Mm-hmm.
I just was. I think when people actually, I have a piece that's going to be shown at a gallery in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
In a week or two, I don't even know if I think it's the May 25th, Friday, May 25th, at Wild Embeddings in Brooklyn. And the whole gist of the show is showing either sacred objects or sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
So what I am doing is I am showing an altar to Aphrodite, and I'm, the two, like, main components of this is the shell. Like, I have this big shell that I used in the video, and like a hand mirror, like one of those, like, fancy hand mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
I got it in an antique shop, so it's like one of those, like, it's like round with a handle.
Oh, nice.
And those are the two main props that I use in the video. So I'm like, those are my sacred objects.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them on, like, a mirrored pedestal with, like, a collage, and, you know, my little, it's just like a little mini temple to Aphrodite. But I would consider those, like, part of, like, the ritual tools for that invocation.
Did you go to school for art? You went to school for something else, didn't you?
No, I went to school for philosophy and religious studies.
Ooh, who's your least favorite philosopher?
Kant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it, are the whole, like, a bunch of, like, German existentialists, are they kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I would actually say that, like, probably all of them are really kind of annoying. Like, I just didn't find them enjoyable to read.
I tried, Schopenhauer. What was his humongous, like, two-book set or something? Ugh. It felt...
I don't really... It's like...
It felt like reading some spoiled rich kid try to explain Plato.
Right.
It was awful.
And that's kind of like my problem a little bit with philosophy, and kind of why I didn't continue on with, like, a PhD. Because I really wanted to take my studies in philosophy and religion and make them into something accessible that just regular people can connect with, not just academics.
Mm-hmm.
If I had done the PhD professor route, I would just be in this really insular community where just other philosophy professors are reading my work, and that's about it. Maybe a couple people who are just simply interested, but it's a small group. And I was like, I really want my ideas and my worldview to be shared. So that's why I ended up kind of taking a 180 and doing it through art instead.
I like that. I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. I mean, philosophy is really not accessible. I mean, you know, your average person on the street isn't going to really appreciate that. You know, philosophy is sort of seen as something that's so intellectual that the average person can't do it. And I always, I mean,
which isn't true. Which, yeah. It's like anyone can do it. you know, it's like at least it's just like a bit more basic level. Like you don't have to be an expert in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the key to philosophy and why I think philosophy is useful is that it's really teaching you to take a lot of information that's very difficult, like oftentimes, and process it.
Mm-hmm.
And think critically about it and question it and rip it apart. And that is really important. That's an important skill that everyone needs.
Yeah, so yeah. I
that's why I like philosophy. You. That's what it's all about for me.
Mm-hmm. The critical thinking part of it, like learning why you think and learning how your thoughts can be valid and learning like how to evaluate the ideas and thoughts of other people. I think all of that is you know, the stuff you were just talking about. That's...
And it's like also just accepting that you might be wrong.
Being wrong
you
is...
You might totally be wrong. Like, you probably are wrong.
And being wrong is fun. I feel like as I've gotten older, that's one thing that I've definitely learned, is that, like, if you're right, you're not going to learn anything new.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I like to say, like, I don't know really anything with certainty. So I like, you know, I like not knowing. Because mm-hmm. then it's always this search to know. And then I think with studying religion, it's the program that I was in was like comparative religion.
Mm-hmm.
So with that and like the combination with philosophy, I felt that it helped me be able to see other worldviews different from my own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important when you're trying to understand people who are different from you or just come from other cultures or whatever. And it just helps me understand my own beliefs and worldview. And then I can actually have a conversation with someone because I can get on their level and just talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know more about them and their worldview and try to understand them very holistically.
Yeah. That sounds like an excellent path to take. So tell me a little bit more about the comparative religion stuff. Like, I feel like my own experience with studying comparative religion is approximately 120 years out of date. I mean, I know that we've discovered a lot of stuff, but I haven't. I don't know that I've actually spent a lot of time reading it. I've read like some Karen Armstrong, who wrote the History of God and some other stuff like that, where she looked at like the development of monotheism or whatever. But I also know that some of the really early comparative religion stuff, like from the 1700s, is kind of insane. Like, have you heard of the book Anacalypsis? By, I think, Godfrey Higgins.
No.
Don't ever read it. I mean, it's huge.
That right there, that is exactly why I do what I do. Because mm-hmm. it's like, no one's going to read that book.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I never read that book. And mm-hmm. this is like my field that I'm interested in. I never read that book. So it's like, that's why I'm just like, I'm not going to write. Like, I think, you know, at some point in my life, I probably will get more into writing books, but mm-hmm. at this point, this is what I want to do, because I think being kind of youthful, like still sort of youthful, is part of what I'm doing right now. So
mm-hmm.
as I get older and things change, as my body changes, I'm not really going to be wanting to do the video stuff that I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'll just take on a new medium.
You'll pivot.
Because I don't want to do the same thing for the rest. Like, I don't want to just do one thing for the rest of my life. It's like, I want to have many experiences and wear many hats, mm-hmm. you know, artist, musician, writer, whatever.
I think that sounds wise. I mean,
you know, but it's like, that's what living a full life is all about. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, people get stuck doing the same thing for 50 years and then they're on their deathbed and they're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I wasted so much of my life doing the same old thing mm-hmm. that I didn't even really like that much. And I wish that I didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel
I've really committed to doing what I want. And mm-hmm. I've had to make sacrifices because it's like, well, I could just be doing something else and making a lot more money, but I could also die tomorrow. And I want to feel like I died when I died, that I lived doing everything that I really wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You should. When you die, you should feel like you were doing stuff that you loved, and also stuff that improved you as a human being and improved the world around you, I think.
Right. And I do hope, like, that is, you know, probably the biggest motivation for all the little things that I'm involved with, is that I just hope that people, when they see the collages or listen to my music or whatever it is, that they actually think about what is being communicated. I hope that they don't just think, oh, this is a pretty picture. Mm-hmm. Because I'm really trying to strike at something a little deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but I do feel that, you know, people get it, and
yeah.
that my work is thought-provoking, and, you know, I do get a pretty good response from people, so
I think
I'm onto something.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, from the stuff I've seen, it's definitely thought-provoking. The collages are super interesting because, you know, sometimes your collage will be super busy, so, you know, if you're just scrolling past it on Instagram, you might not take in the whole picture, but then you've got, like, those words that always just kind of catch you.
Right.
So I think it works pretty well to be thought-provoking. And then the videos that you do with, like, with all of that, like, driving music and the use of color and stuff, it, you know, those are emotion inducing for sure. Like, you're doing a good job. I like it.
Thank you.
can we talk about your band? So the Whip Angels is the name of your music project.
Yep.
And how would you describe, what genre would that be?
Oh God. I do not know.
It's kind
I really
of,
don't.
So you, do you have, are there other people who work on it with you?
Well, it's like, it's generally just me.
Uh-huh.
But I do collaborate with some people sometimes. So when I collaborate, it will say like the Whip Angels and Primitive Knot, or mm-hmm. the Whip Angels and Wizard Cell Eyes. So when you see that, that's a collaboration. But it's, you know, it is just generally just me.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of started, we'll start at the beginning.
Okay.
I started writing poetry, and I was also, like, I'm a very shy person, and, like, getting on stage is, like, my worst nightmare. Like, I'd rather mm-hmm. jump off a bridge than get on stage and just, like, say something that, like, I wrote. It's like, that's a problem, because being able to be a public speaker is actually a really great skill. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take my poetry and I'm going to just force myself to go to open mics and get up on stage and try to overcome this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that I ever really did overcome it, because I still don't feel comfortable, like, up on a stage. but at least I am trying. But so I'd go to these open mics, and the thing about, like, the spoken word scene is that it's like, there's a specific style of how these poets usually present their work, and, like, a vocal style.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get up there and I'm kind of, like, awkward and just sort of whispering my poem and then disappearing back into, like, the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that setting it to music might help. And I really like, you know, I liked what I had to say. So I was like, all right, if I set it to music, I think it will be more accessible. So a lot of times people hear spoken word, like, that's not my thing, I don't like that. But people like music.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband, we were probably just starting to date around that time. He's a musician. And he was like, listen, anyone can make music. Like, I promise you, it might not be good, but anyone can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me, like, a sampler, a microphone, a mandolin, just, like, a couple basic tools. And he's like, here, like, just do something with this. So I did. And that, you know, even, like, my very, I think the first song I ever did, we did together.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty early on, like, I started just making music on my own and just figuring it out. And I just learned by doing it. And then over the years, got like, you know, guitars, some pedals, extra, extra stuff. I play shows sometimes and it's still like, it's torture when I get up on stage. It really is. But I just still try to do it every once in a while.
Well, that's probably, yeah. You know, I, when I started public speaking, I was terrified at first, but now I love it. I don't know. It's probably, I don't know if it's something that, that eventually changes, or maybe it's just different people
When I was in college, it was required to take a public speaking class. And the class, like, time that I took, it was like, I don't know, like the whole baseball team was in that class. It was like the baseball team and me. So it was like, I had just had like nothing in common with these guys. And then it's just like me, this like kind of weird philosophy chick. And so it's like our first assignment, and you had to do like a 3-minute speech about something in the news. So the thing in the news that interested me was about Pluto not being a planet anymore. And they just looked at me like, what the hell is she talking about?
You should have been like, it's like saying that a baseball isn't a softball.
Right. So it was horrible. It was like the worst. It was just the worst. And I think the professor felt bad for me and he gave me like a C. And I was like, no, this is not acceptable because I have a perfect GPA. Like, this class is going to kill me. Like, I need to get an A in this class because it's just going to fuck up my whole thing. And so I went to the professor and I was like, listen, like, how do I do this? Like, I want to succeed in this class. How do I do it? He's like, okay, for the next assignment, just talk about yourself, because there is like a difficult situation with your audience. Because they're just really like, they don't really know what you're about, and like, just tell them, like, just talk about yourself. So I did. And like, I did a really good job. He was really impressed. I heard from other people who took classes with him in the future that he used me as an example of just like, there was someone who just totally bombed the first time and then completely like turned it around. So I did get an A in that class. And like, I pulled together because I really just like wanted to succeed in that class. But you know, it just, it's really,
you know,
hard.
It's okay. You know, there are, just keep doing it. I don't have any good advice for you.
I'm trying. Like, I'm playing a show next Tuesday in Brooklyn at St. Vitus. And I was originally actually going to perform as the Whip Angels. But last week, I just kind of randomly started a new music project. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this instead. It's called Temple of Saturn.
Temple of Saturn. Oh, I saw that on your website. Do you... Yeah. So, did you... And of is spelled like UV or something?
OV.
OV.
You know why? Because actually, it was originally OF, but then when I went to make my band camp, I saw that name was already taken.
Cool.
But they're not, they haven't, that whoever that is, like, hasn't been active in a really long time. So it's like, I'm still going to use the name. I'm just going to change the spelling. So
neat. I'll put a link to that too. Do you have maybe a sample song we could insert into the episode right here?
Thank you.
When you started the new music project, so I haven't listened to these guys at all yet. Is it the same style of music as the Whip Angels? Are you doing something different?
I mean, I guess it's in the same realm, I guess. But I did record the whole thing using a different technique, so that's mm-hmm. why it felt like a different project.
Okay.
So what I did for this was I just did some guitar, I used a guitar, made some loops, mm-hmm. and just played it through like a little tiny practice amp, then recorded what was coming out of the amp onto my iPhone. I put that, yeah, oh, I do this all the time. If people knew like how just like crappy my whole situation is, like that's real magic right there.
Yeah, I think my podcast recording abilities are about at that level.
So it's like, all right, so I did these four loops, so then record them on my iPhone, record the vocals on the iPhone,
mm-hmm.
and then I bring them, I do a lot of like, I also do like remixes and DJ, and the name I use for my DJ stuff is Pope John II, that's where like that came from.
Oh, okay.
So I bring them into Tractor and I use like a digital DJ controller, and then I mixed the loops and the vocals that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not real, like I use that for the Whip Angels too, but the whole like recording from the amp, like that was different. I don't usually do that for my Whip Angels stuff. I just record like straight into the computer.
And were you you were obviously satisfied with how it came out because you used it, but
right. Well, I mean, the way I do music is I record it,
mm-hmm.
I listen to it once, I'm like, okay, it's good, and I just release it, because if I like have to mess with it too long, it will never come out. So I just give birth to it and send it off into the world.
Just push it out of the nest.
Yeah, it's really like, it's the only way, because I mean, when I first started it goes back to like with the public speaking thing, where it's like, if I have to like listen to my voice too long, I start to like panic, and then I don't want anyone to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to just be like, all right, I created this thing, I'm sharing it. And if people like it, that's awesome. And I hope they do. If they think it's garbage, like whatever, I really don't care. Mm-hmm. It was fun for like the few minutes that I spent like recording it. So
cool. Well, I look forward to listening to it. The Whip Angels album I got was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, the Whip Angels has been going on, I think it's since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I started it. So yeah, I don't know what genre it is. I call it like electronic and experimental, but those are just very vague. So
yeah, I think that works. It's electronic for sure. It's definitely experimental. Those sound like good words.
Yeah. You know, it's like, but if people are like, well, like what? Like, I was like, I don't know. Like,
call it,
I would say that like,
why did you call it sacred electronic experimental music?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. Then it'll fit in with the rest of your theme. Nobody will question it.
It's the same thing though as like the video, where it's like it does like take on sort of this like ritual side, where it's like I feel like it's not even me sometimes. Like it's just, this is just what's coming out of me. Like I'm channeling this from mm-hmm. the other world, and here it is.
Do you have sort of like an occult practice or a mystical practice that got you started on all this stuff?
Well, okay, actually I think this is like sort of going back to a question you asked me a while ago, but then I went off on another tangent.
Well, I didn't catch it. Like, good job.
The whole sex, death, rebirth thing, like to me, I'm like, that is like my spiritual practice, mm-hmm. and I call it a religion, and it's like a religion with no followers though. And I don't necessarily want followers, like, because no one can be me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I think the goal is to show you that you can go your own path and that you don't need someone else's path to find gnosis or knowledge, whatever it is. Like it comes from within you. And I'm just showing you things that helped me, like symbols, or if I reference like certain texts, like these are things that helped me discover that inner power. And maybe it will help you or someone, you know, anyone else. It will help whoever is on the receiving end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's kind of like a collage of other, I guess, religions and cults and whatever. And I've sort of melted it into this one big thing. And I call it Sex, Death, Rebirth.
Sounds like a mystery.
Yeah, and it should be mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what makes you want to know more. Like, if I just presented it, like, okay, here's the book, and here's, like, the bullet points of, like, what the, like, you know, theology behind this is, then that's just like bullshit dogma, like every other religion that no one actually wants to practice. So I'm like, it should be something that you do, not something you just read about. It's something you do and experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see like the art and engage with it or the music or whatever, it's like you're practicing sex, death, rebirth. If you take like even just 5 minutes to contemplate what you're seeing. Like, idea that she's expressing is really interesting. That's like prayer in my religion. You are engaging with it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Well, I mean, it's interesting because you have created a method of engaging everybody in your religion. Almost kind of, it can be casual. It could even be, you know, against their will. You know what I mean? If you put up a big billboard and everybody had to look at it.
Right.
that's an interesting take on it. I like that. I like that philosophy.
And I use, you know, in the collages, like I use symbols from other religions that people would, like, mm-hmm. just like the world religions, because it's like, these are things that people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not really interested in religion, like I do probably have like heavy Christian imagery,
mm-hmm.
just because I feel like that's something that even non-Christians in America at least are familiar with.
Oh yeah, I mean, so in like Western you just culture. Know what,
yeah, like you just know what these symbols are trying to communicate, and then I'm juxtaposing them with other mm-hmm. other things.
Yeah, I mean that's basically the visual language of our culture in the West, anyhow, is all that Christian imagery and, you know, religious art. You know, we've all seen it. Excuse me, we've all seen it. We've all been around it.
And I think like some, I mean, I have a deep appreciation for art and art history and. You know, it's like, I think some of the best art in the world is religious art and mm-hmm. architecture. Like, it is just awesome, like, what religion has inspired. So I'm, you know, trying to tap into that little bit as well.
Yeah, I think sometimes you can see, well, I mean, because religion really moves people, right? So you look at, I don't know, like Titian or whatever, and you can see his feelings. In his art, you know, I mean, you could see how much he was moved by it. So I would agree. Like, some of my favorite art is also religious, but I mean, you know, good art is where you can see the inspiration or experience the inspiration or sort of get a feeling of whatever inspiration drove the original artist. I think that might not be an actual definition of good art, but it's something that I think is good in art.
Right. I mean, I don't know that you can even define good art, but I think you did a pretty good job there. But I guess even going back a little bit further with the whole sex, death, rebirth thing, maybe like a couple years after I graduated from college,
mm-hmm.
I started like this massive archive of digital images related to the like what the same themes that you're seeing in my collages. So that was really, and that went on for like, I don't know, it's probably in its like 8th year.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last 7-8 years, you know, I spend a lot of time online, like looking for art from every culture, every time period, every style, and putting it all together on this blog. And so when you look at like the archive of it, it's just like this massive thing. Like there's over 10,000 images.
Oh, nice. Where's
that? I think it's like, it's just on Tumblr.
Okay.
So it's like sex-death-rebirth.tumblr.com.
Okay. I'll look that up.
And you know, a little bit more recently, I've been like sort of adding some of my own art, but it is this like really massive archive of just images that inspired me in some way. And that was kind of like my part of my study, because then I was like looking into certain art movements or the history of, you know, certain symbols, reading, I would just get interested in like a particular artist and do some research about them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like my way of self-learning art history and art styles, whatever. And then, you know, I guess within sort of the last year, I took a turn and I was like, all right, enough of like the passive study. I need to take this, like everything I've learned, and then now it's my turn to put something out.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm in like the active phase and taking everything I learned and channeling that through all of my art forms.
Well, I'm enjoying seeing it happen.
Thank you. You know,
from the other side of the continent. I will make sure that you have so much stuff online. There's so much stuff that people can sort of like go to experience your art and your music and all this kind of stuff. So, whoever's listening to this, if you, I'm just talking to the audience now. I'm just telling them that if you are not in the habit of looking at show notes, this is an episode where you want to, because there's just a ton of stuff to go look at.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, people have said, they're like, you put out too much. Like, you do way too much. Like, I can't keep up. And I was like, you know what? Like, I don't care, because I might die next week. So it's like, I want to make sure that I got out my message before that happens. So I'm just putting out as much as I can, because something could happen where I'm not here anymore, or I can't, you know, I'm incapacitated in some way.
Well,
and I can't do it.
Your focus might change. I mean, what if your inspiration changes, or what if like next week you're like, oh, I'm tired of collages. I'm going to write a book now.
Right. Exactly. Like, so it's like, this is just, it's not going to last forever. So I'm just like going with it while it does. Like, I just kind of like joke, 'cause it's like people sometimes ask me like, concerning like the more like erotic, sexy videos, it's like, well, what are you going to do when you age out of that? And I was like, well, I don't know. I'll start like a YouTube cooking show. I'll just do something else.
My YouTube cooking show, it's going to be only about French omelets, just French omelets.
But it's like, I actually do like to cook. So it's like, yeah. I have something I would really enjoy doing, but it's like, I'll save it for then, you mm-hmm. know, like, that's why I'm not doing it now. I do too much already.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy with your level of output, and I know that I haven't seen it all, and it's cool. You know, maybe if I have like a bored afternoon, I'll be like, what did I miss? What did I miss in the creative output of Pope John II?
Well, someone said that they were like, you know, like they found like one thing and then they're like, oh, this is like a breadcrumb trail. 'Cause then mm-hmm. you just start going deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm like, that's the experience that I want you to have, because it's like, you know, it's like, okay, I do the Instagram thing and it is like this transient thing. You're just scrolling through and maybe you see it, maybe you don't, but it's like, I really want people to sit with it and get the whole worldview. So it's like, you do have to start looking through the whole pieces. Mm-hmm. And if I just wrote it all down and gave it to you on a platter, it just would not be interesting. So I put it in all these different forms, and it's all over the internet in different places. Steam it, Minds, Instagram, Twitter, my own website. It's everywhere, so that you can kind of like, you know, spend some time with it and go deeper and deeper and deeper if you want to. Like some people, you know, maybe they just see one thing and they just move on. But some people, they're become more engaged with it. So that's what I want. I want people to really sincerely connect with it. So that's part of why I do it the way that I do.
That sounds like an awesome approach to take to your art. All right, we've been talking for a little while, and I'm wondering now, do you have any questions for me?
I don't know.
That always makes everybody panic. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't throw a wild card at me like that. It's like I would have prepared some stuff.
Hey, I didn't. I barely prepared for. I barely prepared too. All right. Well, you don't have to ask me any questions, but can you, why don't you tell our listeners who are not going to go to the show notes, your website, where is that at?
Oh, you can go to joanpope.com.
Okay.
And that's, you know, sort of the portal for everything, and you'll be able to, that's a good place to start.
Yeah. And then through there, they'll be able to find your Steemit account and your Instagram account and your music.
Twitter, Bandcamp, Vimeo, like all that.
Okay.
So I tend to be on Lion as Sex, Death, Rebirth. The Whip Angels is my main music project. My side music projects are Black Tantra, Pope Joan II, and Temple of Saturn.
All right. And I won't ruin the breadcrumbs for people if they do look at the show notes, but it'll help get them started too. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on my podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was really nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right, I'll direct people to your stuff. I know you mentioned a couple of dates, like your Brooklyn show and the art thing at Wild Embeddings, but I think that this episode is probably going to come out after those have happened. Do you have anything going on in June?
On June 8th, there is a panel discussion at Wild Embeddings about the piece that's in that show.
Okay.
I think that's the only thing I have in June. I can't even keep it straight anymore. Like, I'm just like a whirlwind. Like, I sometimes wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I start working then. Like, I'm collaging and recording and whatever. And I just go until I can't go anymore. So I don't even know what day I'm at, but
it's Monday.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, I remembered this. Like, I kept like telling myself, okay, like Monday the 14th, I have this. But yeah, June 8th, there's a panel discussion, and me and the other artists will be talking about our sacred objects that are in the show.
Oh, cool. All right. I will, I'll tell people about that too. All right. Well, thank you very much. It's really good to talk to you, and I hope that you have a super great evening. I never know how I never know how to end these things.
I know. Endings are kind of difficult, but.
My Alchemical Bromance is sponsored by Miskatonic Books. Miskatonic Books is an online bookstore that focuses on rare, limited edition, and custom-made books of the highest quality. They specialize in books on the occult, ceremonial magic, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, Hermeticism, and other topics of interest to you, our listeners. Check them out on the web at miskatonicbooks.com. Thank you for listening to My Alchemical Bromance. You can find us on the web at myalchemicalbromance.com. You can find us on Stitcher and iTunes. Please subscribe, leave a good review, give us some 5-star stuff and all of that jazz, and come back next time. Thank you.
I'm not going to be able to do it.